Radio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar, The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived, always likes a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rap.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Bada boom! Realest guys in a room.
How you do?
I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here is my hand, here is my spout. When I get all steamed up, hear me shout. Tip me over and pour me out.
With your host,
Kitty.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
My boobs are real.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Bad things happen to bad people, and good things happen to good people. Good people. Like me. All you have to do is believe.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure needs. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my ever faithful producer slash handyman slash co-host, Sir Rockin.
I am here. We are live across the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network. You can interact with us live in our chat room at WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com. Just click on live in one of those areas. And it'll take you to the chat rooms. Or you can tweet us during the show at Wild Talk Radio or at Rack Radio Show. We're at Lindsay Ward as well.
Yes. And we have a lot to get into tonight, including Battleground and the surprise return of a certain dead man. Bastard. But we will get into that a little later in the show. We're also talking NXT. We've got Tweet of the Week, and we've got news, notes, and so much more. So we're going to get right into it with the news brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com and TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans. And yes, I got the plug right. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry. Hold your shots. I haven't screwed up yet. Give you about 5 minutes.
I could totally make her screw up right now.
Shut up.
What?
Don't you do it. I know what you have queued up.
What?
I know what you have queued up. So just, you know, you put that away unless you want to break the female audience of this show. Do we have a female audience?
Yeah, we do have a female audience. Females do listen to the show.
Don't break the female audience. Also, ladies, if you have a baby, do not eat your placenta. That is cannibalism. Horrifying things I learn when I use Google.
And then the horrible, horrifying things I learn Googling after she tells me said things.
Yeah, actually, you can thank Candace Michelle for that. So, news! Now that we've, like, run off everybody. I guess we kind of have to dive into the TNA news first, because that's really kind of the biggest news of the week. So we'll get to WWE, because there is WWE news, but it's not as big as TNA, because they made some major changes this week, and they were not necessarily all for the good. Probably the biggest story right now coming out for TNA is that they have officially ended the guarantee contracts for talent, meaning that the talent will no longer have a guarantee if they don't work a show. That's now everybody is on a pay-per-play deal. It's suspected that guys like Kurt Angle will probably retain their guarantee, but it's not confirmed. So as of now, the talent, all of them are on a pay-per-play deal. Pretty much no one is happy about it.
There's a few people who are happy about it. Those who had a low guarantee, it's like, hey, we're working more, so we'll get more money, but you gotta work more to get more money.
Yeah, you have to get booked. That's the thing. And for the talent of TNA, they do tapings about once every 2 months. And you film for 5 days usually, and then you're gone for 2 months. So in 5 days, you could get booked once, if you're lucky. If you're a lower end talent, and, you know, you may not get booked at all. So there are a lot of talents who are upset, and rightfully so, about losing the guarantee, because now it's suddenly that money that is supposed to be there isn't going to be there. And TNA does not have the bookings that they have anymore to be able to make up for that. So you have a lot of people now looking elsewhere to potentially make up that income, which could prove very interesting with the formation of GFW and GFW trying to get off the ground, and also ROH being TNA's competition on Destination America.
Pretty much, yeah. It's an interesting situation to be in for TNA. You just look at the landscape. They've changed their business model from guaranteed contracts to pay per play. Now their talents have to wonder, where's my next paycheck coming from this company? Because is this going to be a company when they air Bound for Glory on October 4th?
Yeah, live from Charlotte, which we'll get into in a minute. But actually, TNA technically went from pay-per-play to guaranteed contracts, and now they're back to pay-per-play again.
Yes.
So you see how the company is shrinking. Another item that came out was that they have exported pretty much all of their production work overseas and have let go of the majority of the production staff that was left.
It's not overseas. They've hired a new company.
Basically, it's been outsourced.
Outsourced, yeah. It's outsourced to a company in West Virginia, I think. Virginia, West Virginia, somewhere in that general direction. AO1.
Well, that could be another country.
Could be another country. AO1 Productions, I believe it's what it's called.
But yeah. No, but they basically exported it out of the company. It's no longer being done in-house. They have let go of their in-house production crew. That's not a good sign.
No, it really is not a good sign. And the set of tapings they're doing right now is the first with this new production company. It'll be interesting to see what the show looks like compared to what it was before, if there's any change at all. But they've changed this entire company around. A year ago, this company was completely different. It's scary how different this company is.
And it also should be noted that TNA had a meeting with the talent, and they basically told them that if it comes to them losing the Destination America deal, that they will be fine, that the international contracts will support them, and everything will be A-okay.
Well, let's see. They've lost Australia, and now Italy has suspended airing new episodes of Impact Wrestling. That says something right there when you've already lost two of your international deals, too.
In major countries.
In major countries. So you could tell by the change in how they're paying the wrestlers, there's not a lot of income coming in.
Yeah, I mean, basically, Rock and I were talking about this off-air because that's what we do, and it seems like, and it feels like, and it looks like that TNA is girding its loins and is honestly trying to cut costs and save money wherever they can, which they should, because they're not having as much money come in as there used to be. But it also seems like they're preparing to potentially lose even further money with the Destination America deal going away. That seems to be being proven more and more as what's going to happen. Now, it'll be interesting to see what happens in 2 months, come September.
Right.
But all of this feels like TNA is preparing to lose Destination America. And if that's the case, I don't know how long they'll be okay for, because once you lose your TV deal in your home market, that sends a message to the rest of the markets that you're in that you may not be a viable product.
Because now, if you're in a company in, you know, a television network overseas and go, hey, we want to keep Impact Wrestling, and wait, it's been dropped by how many networks in a year? We should maybe rethink this.
And also it's, oh, well, you know, yeah, yeah, you know, you've done good for us, you get good ratings, but, you know, you're really just producing a television show, and we don't want to pay what we pay you now for that show, so we're going to offer you less.
It's very possible.
Because, you know, you're not as big as you used to be. You're not in your home market, you're not here, you know, you've been dropped here, there, everywhere. So, you know, you're not as valuable as you once were. Take a pay cut. You know, it's going to not be a pretty thing if TNA loses Destination America. And like we said when the whole story kind of developed, Destination America never confirmed or denied it. Particularly denied.
Yeah.
They never came out and said, no, absolutely not. This is 100% false. Even Spike TV came out and said, no, this is false. Before it was, well, true.
True, yeah.
So it's like, there's been a lot of a lot of rumors circulating about what's been going on. ROH coming on board to Destination America is another sign that, well, maybe they're looking for TNA's replacement. Especially if ROH starts to outdraw TNA.
Right.
Which I think it did do it.
No, it doesn't. I don't think it's doing it, but on a grand scale, it is. On Destination America, no, but it's getting closer.
Yeah, they're getting closer and closer together, which is not good for TNA at all. So, and then on top of that, they lost MVP.
They lost MVP. MVP announced that himself and TNA have mutually parted ways from the company as of last Thursday, after the incident that went down with the Hernandez and everything, and how the beatdown clan really hasn't materialized since, you know, they lost the member and they had to be written off of TV for the next 6 weeks. So, MVP is gone from the company. It's not a real shock. He's been very unhappy with the company. I think he's seen the right out of, you know, when you look back at the Twitter stuff that was put out weeks ago when all the whole story broke, he's seen the writing on the wall. He's no dummy. He knows what's coming, and there's no denying there's a lot of talent at TNA, but it's like, you see the writing, may want to go, hey, I'm going to leave before this really ends badly, and since he's no longer a part of the TV because they don't write him off, and it's like, why come back? There's no reason. I've now been writing out your storylines because of a mistake, and it's just, it's a bad situation to be in.
Yeah, and it's something that MVP isn't the only one that's seen the writing on a wall. There are several others, including James Storm, who has been loyal to TNA for 11 years, 12 years. I mean, pretty much since day one.
Right.
He's gone.
Right, he's working the tapings, but he's no longer officially a contracted member of the company.
I mean, basically the people that are kind of figuring out, hey, that we're not as in good a shape as we were being led to believe, are getting out, and they're getting their money while they can get out. Because that's the thing. If you there's something to be said to be seeing it to the bitter end, but at the same time, if you see it to the bitter end, you may not get what's owed to you.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, this isn't going to be like WCW, where WCW got bought, and there was the money there to fulfill all the obligations. This is, unless somebody buys TNA, it's going to go out of business. And once TNA's creditors get done picking it apart, well, the talent and everybody else who are owed money can get whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever's left,
yeah.
But it all depends on how much debt TNA is carrying right now, which I don't even know because they're a privately held company. I can't look that up. But so it's, you're kind of seeing people get out. You're starting to see the outflow.
Right.
And whether it's by TNA's choice or whether it's by the talent or the production crew's choice, the writing is starting to show up on the wall.
Pretty much, yeah. It really, really is. And so we'll see how it develops.
Yeah, and I hate talking like this about TNA because I want them to pull out of this. I want them to succeed. I want them to become great again. I want all of that for them. But just seeing this and watching this,
it's hard to watch.
It's hard to watch.
But here on the plus side, let's
need a positive, and we have a positive.
Sort of. If you want to help support TNA, you know, they need any income sources they can, go to Bound for Glory on October 4th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Everyone go woo.
Woo!
Woo!
And one of the things you get is the main event experience add-on for $250. This does not include any tickets to the pay-per-view or hotel stays. But here's what you can get. Ready? Ready, everybody? You get a tour of the Bound for Glory arena with TNA president Dixie Carter. You get a tour of the TNA Wrestling production truck.
Ooh.
You get to participate in a Q&A forum with a star of TNA Wrestling. Enjoy lunch with the TNA Wrestling roster and crew. You get to walk the Bound for Glory ramp and into the six-sided ring. Have your photo made with a TNA World Champion title. That sounds weird. Anyway, sit side by side with TNA announcer Josh Matthews. You get that fantasy booking. Have a creative session with a TNA writer and agent. You know, They can take your ideas and make them awesome. Get your star promo shot. Get your star promo shot by TNA Wrestling's photographer. Receive an exclusive TNA Main Eventer Collectors, contender credential, and a BFG commemorative poster. You go to shoptna.com for more information. So, there you go.
Ooh.
So yes, they're doing Bound for Glory live on pay-per-view on October 4th.
Yay.
Should be interesting.
Should be interesting. So congratulations to them for having Bound for Glory in Charlotte.
Woo!
Woo! So speaking of woo, we need to woo our way over to WWE because we do have some WWE news, including that, well, Ric Flair is going to be making an appearance in one of the upcoming WWE series, but he's not going to be the Ric Flair we know. He's going to be his styling and profiling his way onto summer camp.
For Camp WWE, alright, people. You gotta listen to this. They're about to do voiceover work for Camp WWE Cartoon for the network. They're doing a shoot on August 9th. The head of the camp is Vince McMahon, who's supposed to be a 50-year-old, big, brass, egomaniac billionaire, as well as a loving father who hates complaining campers and ass-kissing subordinates, but loves money and power, is always thinking of new ways to run down his competition. The character is described and scripted with the line that you'll just love. Clearly, the most intelligent character on the show. Triple H, also called Hunter, is a 14-15-year-old co-head camp counselor, tough and intimidating, a vindictive prankster who is always trying to get the respect of Vince McMahon, and always trying to win the love of his daughter. He considers himself to be highly intelligent, but still has a long way to go. Stephanie is the other co-camp counselor, another 14-15-year-old. She has all her father's traits, arrogant, intimidating, ruthless, but lacks the maturity to get the job done. She tries to run the camp, but it runs her father at first. Runs to her father at first sign of trouble. She's beautiful, bold, confrontational, and fearless. Then you have John Cena, an 8-year-old, the most adorable, cheery, upbeat Boy Scout type, a cute goody-two-shoes who will do anything to bring happiness to his other campers. But even though he's a great kid, he's a polarizing figure at camp who is sometimes used by others to do their dirty work and annoys people because he never gives up at anything and is always trying to inspire others.
Gee, they've really got their characterizations down, don't they?
Undertaker is the scariest 8-year-old, a large, gothic kid obsessed with death and mystical powers. His character is based upon this. Drax, Guardians of the Galaxy, with a touch of Satan thrown in.
I love that. Drax, with a dash of Satan, because, you know, that's so a thing.
Yeah. You have Big Show, a big, dumb, gentle 8-year-old. He's both childlike and monstrous in size. He doesn't understand his own strength, nor the meaning of any word with more than 2 syllables.
That's so mean!
They want him to be an 8-year-old Homer Simpson.
No! Big Show's so much smarter than that.
You got Mark Henry, an African-American, loves girls and food. He brags that he knows everything about women, except it comes out he knows nothing about women. But he's the strongest 8-year-old in the world. So he's a young sexual chocolate. Hulk Hogan is a camp legend who is huge, powerful, charismatic, but tired from being old and being from a different era. But he still tries to connect with everyone by calling them brother. Brie Bella is cunning, cute, and sneaky. Nikki Bella is a tomboy of the twin sisters and has the best body of all the women campers. Sometimes they switch places on unsuspecting campers.
Wait, hold on. So they're 8, right?
Uh-huh.
They're 8.
Uh-huh.
So we're sexualizing an 8-year-old Nikki Bella by saying she has the best body out of all the female campers.
Yes.
Okay, continue. I had to point that out.
Ric Flair is 5 years older than everyone else in camp. He rides in limos and jet planes. Is cocky, always styling and profiling, and he's the dirtiest kid in camp, who shocks Vince McMahon with stories of his sexual conquest.
This is a kid's show, right?
Uh-huh. The comedy is when they make the rich kid live in the wild with nature, so he's the pampered rich kid character being taken out of his environment. R-Truth, another African-American who is neither big nor bright, but he's funny and drives people crazy with his misguided theories on why things are what they are, but he's also the most gullible camper who always give you second and third hand information that is almost impossible to believe, which is ironic because his name is Truth.
So as you can see, they've got their characterizations down pat.
Mm-hmm.
This should be an interesting show. And if you want to audition for the show, do we have the information to audition? They are looking for voice actors.
Yeah, they are. The casting company is looking for voice actors. I would contact the Seth Green Production Company and find out. That's all they say.
Ooh, Seth Green Production Company. That's here in Atlanta.
So, there you go. That's who's, he's the executive producer, so I would try to figure out from there.
Yeah. So if you're interested, look up Seth Green.
Yes. I just love Drax from Guardians of the Galaxy with a touch of Satan.
Well, speaking of Drax with a touch of Satan, we need to talk about Drax with a touch of Satan because he showed up, and we will get more into his return later in the show, but SummerSlam is not the only show Taker is going to be working.
Oh?
Oh, yes. For anybody that's going to be going to the house shows in Mexico later in the year, you're getting a treat because you are getting the Dead Man. It was announced that the Undertaker is booked for the house shows in Mexico in September?
October.
August? September?
October.
October. One of those months.
He's doing the house shows in October, mid-October to be exact.
Yes, so if you want to see The Undertaker live outside of WrestleMania, this is your chance. Go get your tickets.
Your one and only chance, because I don't expect him to work many more house shows beyond this set of three, October 16th, 17th, and 18th in Mexico.
Yeah, and also, if you want to see him live, your chance is now, heading into SummerSlam, because I have a feeling he's on a last run, but we'll get to that when we talk about Battleground. And well, speaking of runs, there was another reunion at Battleground. Again, we will get further into it, but long story short, the family is back together, y'all. That's right, Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper have reunited. We'll tell you how they did it a little bit later, but they're missing a third.
They are missing a third.
In one, Eric Rowan, who's still out injured. He's going to be out for another 4 to 5 months, which kind of puts him out to be active right now for SummerSlam. So there are rumors circulating that WWE is going to locate a third person for the Wyatt family, so we may get a new Wyatt. And Rock and I think we may have found him.
Yeah, you seem to have found the perfect Wyatt. What's his name again?
Braun Strowman. For those of you that don't know who he is, think of the original Rosebuds. He was Gladiator guy.
Which you can now see on the new fancy technology screen. There's a picture. Oh. There's a picture of him on the screen. He has the look. He has the size.
Yeah, he's about 6'8", like maybe 275, 300 pounds, somewhere in there. Big dude, burly dude, bearded dude. He has not been in the company long. He's only been there for about 2 years total. He trained for about a year, and he's only been wrestling for about 6 months. So that does not bode well in terms of him wrestling, but Brock and I were, again, talking about this last night, like we do. And, you know, you could really have him just need to hit the power moves similar to what Eric did and have Luke kind of carry the team, which again is what they did with the original Wyatt family, because Eric Rowan was not the strongest wrestler when he first came up. He's gotten a lot better.
Yeah, so that's the story there. So we'll see.
We'll see how that goes. We'll see if they need a third Wyatt, if they're going to do a 6-man at SummerSlam. Right now, it seems like they're just doing a tag match, but we'll have to see how that goes.
But one person who will not be at SummerSlam or even a part of WWE is the person we're going to be talking about now as we transition to the Rack's reaction to Tough Enough.
Oh my goodness, this episode of Tough Enough. This was pick on ZZ week.
This was really pick on ZZ week.
the poor child. He, you know, it's like cardio is just not his thing.
No, it's not.
It's really not.
Even though he's now trying and he's doing workout videos on Twitter and stuff, cardio is not his thing. But when you call out ZZ, well, you're asking to probably be eliminated. And that's what happened with Patrick. We're going to get right to it. Patrick was the one eliminated in the show. He was cocky. He was arrogant. He called out ZZ for not working hard. And, well, the theme of this show was humility, and he didn't really show any.
Yeah, Patrick's ego has been kind of getting increasingly worse over the last couple weeks, and he's picked several fights on the show, one with Tanner, one with Mata, and now one with ZZ, and he just was getting increasingly more aggressive, and I understand how he was frustrated, because he was the only person there that was really aware of the product. And he was the only person that kind of really showed a passion for it. And it was something he really wanted, and you could tell he really wanted it. And it's like, that's awesome, but at the same time, you kind of shouldn't be a jerk about it. Because there are people who have gotten into this business later and developed a passion for it. There are people who have grown up in the business and they've always had a passion for it. And then there are people who have watched it at home on television, similar to Patrick, and have decided this is what they want to do with their life. So, you know, everybody comes to the WWE differently. Everybody comes to a passion for it differently. If ZZ's not doing what he's supposed to be doing, absolutely call him out on it, but don't be a jerk about it. And he was kind of being a jerk, because basically he looked at ZZ and he's like, if I would be humiliated if I lost to you.
Well, I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Yeah, I'm afraid I got some bad news on that one, dude.
You kind of lost him, and by a wide margin, too, with the fan vote, which was interesting, a fan vote. ZZ was the number two in the fan vote, and Josh was in the bottom three.
Yeah, but Josh was in the bottom three because Josh isn't doing what he's supposed to be doing either. Basically, Hulk called him out for not stepping up and not showing the personality that he should show. Right now, Mata is the clear favorite with the judges.
He's becoming my clear favorite, who's going to walk away with this thing, because he has the promo ability that can carry him along with the size.
Oh yeah, he's got the size, he's got the strength, he's got the in-ring ability, he can talk. Yeah. Mata would do very well.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised though if the final three for the guys, whoever they are, I'll get signed.
Oh, wouldn't be surprising at all. It really wouldn't. What was interesting, and congrats to Sarah Lee for showing a backbone and actually stepping up this week.
Dude, she told somebody to F off.
I
was so proud.
She's really coming into her own after being drilled it into by the judges last week. She stepped up this week. I was proud of her stepping up this week. She did pretty decent in the challenge. Gigi, ooh, we gotta talk about her for a second, because her fake crying was just brutally awful.
Dude, she's embracing her inner bitch. Damn.
She is. She is.
I mean, she just basically, you know, you think she's all sweet and she's nice and, you know, she's just kind of happy-go-lucky. And then this week, it's like she kind of threw Sarah under the bus a little bit, you know, especially when the new chick, whatever her name was.
Chelsea,
thank you, got hurt. And she basically told Sarah, well, you don't have to be off my ankle for a month. And Sarah accidentally let it blab to Gigi that, you know, Chelsea is supposed to be off her ankle for a month. And then what does Chelsea do? What does Gigi do? She throws both Chelsea and Sarah under the bus in front of the trainers.
Yeah. Yeah, she did that.
And then she fake cries.
It was very, very awful fake crying.
It's like, dude, really? Like, even Lita's standing there like, really? Really? Pull your shit together.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was bad, but solid episode?
One other thing, the chops. Ooh.
Oh, I'll let your guy, so.
Ow. Ow, 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 ow. But a couple of them sold it. You can tell a couple of them felt it really hurt.
He didn't pull any punches for what we're talking about. Big Show was on the show and live, and he gave the gentleman of the show their very first chop from him.
Yeah.
As a welcome to the business.
Yeah. ZZ. Ooh.
I thought ZZ was going to cry.
ZZ wanted to cry. ZZ really wanted to cry. But yeah.
Like, oh, you poor baby. Patrick looked like he was about to cry. Tanner took it.
Tanner took it fine, but he's used to it. Because he's a fighter, he took it really well.
Yeah, he's used to it. Josh took it pretty well.
Overall, this was a good episode of the show.
This was a good episode. Looking forward to next week to see how we move forward. Dane O'Brien's streak has been broken.
Thank God.
Yeah, I like how he's like, I'm 4-for-4, and then he calls out ZZ, and it's like, oh man.
Aww.
Ryan, are we going to have problems?
Thankfully, we did not.
But, you know, we'll have to see how everybody steps up, because there were 9, now we're down to 8, and it's gradually narrowing, and we're getting to the point where the people who are really serious in terms of a popularity contest are being found out.
Yeah.
So we are going to discover who really is tough enough and who isn't here very, very soon. Quick note on it also, there's some heat on Mick Foley about this episode.
He's no longer watching the show, and they were upset that he put that out on Facebook.
Yeah. WWE was a little pissed that Mick Foley, because basically Patrick got eliminated. Foley was upset about it, and rightfully so, because Patrick was very talented.
Mm-hmm.
He just needed to find his chill.
Yeah.
You know, just a little bit. But Foley basically came out and said, yeah, this is crap. It's nothing but a popularity contest at this point, and I'm done. And WWE was like, really? Seriously, dude? Thanks.
Thanks, Mick.
Thanks, Mick. So, little bit of heat on Mick Foley for that. Also, there seems to be a little battle between Patrick and the Wrestling Observer. Because the Wrestling Observer apparently reported that Patrick was offered a developmental contract by WWE, but he turned it down because he didn't have the money to relocate to Florida.
Yeah, what happened was, he was asked hypothetically in an interview if he was going to, you know, if he was offered a WWE contract, would he take it? And that's how it went. Because when they reported on a radio show, he didn't read the full story, so he was taking it the word of the person who sent it to him. So that's where it got confused, and then Patrick called him out, and it was all big to do about nothing.
Yeah, it was all big to do about nothing. Just to address a little man's comment in the chat real quick. Oh, Mick has every right to say what he wants to say, but in comments like that where they're trying to get the show up and they're basically trying to sell the show to USA because USA is really unhappy with it, comments like that don't help their situation at all. So it's like, I'm sure, you know, in any other time, it's like, dude, say whatever you want. But at this point where they're trying to really sell the show, it's like, yeah, dude, maybe not so much.
Especially since he just re-signed under a new Legends contract with them. So, you know, it's not sitting well with them. But it'll all blow over in a day, but for the day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's going to blow over. But, yeah, it's something that maybe, you know, saying, oh, I'm going to quit. I'm sure what got it was I'm going to quit watching the show because at this point it's nothing but a popularity contest. Had he just said this is nothing but a popularity contest now, there probably wouldn't be any kind of hubbub with it. But him going, I'm going to stop watching the show, because what that carries with it is, oh, well, Mick Foley doesn't like this show. So there are fans that'll be like, well, if it's not good enough for Mick, then it's not good enough for me, and they're going to stop watching.
Right, the boycott was the issue. Not that about the popularity thing, the boycott.
Yeah, so calling for a boycott of the show when they're trying to sell it, not the best of ideas, but it'll all blow over, it'll all be fine. And
we'll go from there.
And they may put Tough Enough on the network if USA decides to drop it. It just all depends on how well it does, because they really want to sell it, but it all depends, too, on the talent, because the talent are a little pissed about it, and I think it's both on the main roster and NXT, that they're a little upset that, you know, basically they're doing a reality-based competition to get a $250,000 WWE contract handed to you. And obviously you have to go through training, but there are a lot of people out there on the current main roster that would have killed for that.
Very, very true.
So, interesting episode. Looking forward to next week. We'll have to see how it goes, because, well, Cesaro's going to be on.
Yeah, he will.
So look for me to make little fangirl noises. So yeah, I say we take our first break.
Let's hit the break.
So when we come back, we're going to be talking all about this week's exciting NXT. We'll let you know what happened. And later in the show, we are talking Battleground. All things, including Wyatt's, Deadman, Brock Lesnar, and so much more. So you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/mbg1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not going to sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles. Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure needs. And now, we're going to talk NXT.
We are going to talk some NXT, and this is the first NXT with Finn Balor live in the NXT arena as the NXT champion. He talked a lot tonight.
He did talk a lot. He was in a suit a lot, too.
He was in a suit. He talked about all of Owen's accomplishments in WWE and NXT, including beating Cena and beating down Rusev and the like. But he noted that he did not beat him and that Balor walked out NXT champion in Japan, and he will do the same in Brooklyn. It was a nice, solid opening promo. It got him the ovation, which was pretty cool. His first moment as NXT champion. It was a pretty cool ovation.
It was a really cool ovation. He walked out there. He looked good. He looked proud. He was excited. I mean, it was a really cool moment for Finn. You know, he got a great introduction, actually twice.
Yes.
Once when he first came out, and then again by William Regal at the end of the show. So yeah. They were playing up the fact that he's the new champion. They were making a big deal about it.
It was made a big deal. We had Eva Marie, she talked about the opportunity she'd been given by William Regal and told the fans to open their eyes because they are going to like what they see. And that brought us to Eva Marie's return to the ring against Cassie.
Not digging the robe.
Not digging the robe.
Digging the new gear, though.
Though she's put on a little weight on the backside.
She put on a little weight in the hips, but that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's more muscle than it is weight.
Yes. She showed some solid wrestling.
She has improved.
She's
not the greatest thing ever, but she has definitely improved from where she was. You can tell that she worked really hard with Kendrick.
Things she needs to work on is don't smile. Show some more physicality and aggression when you do submission moves. Make it seem like it's you're actually putting some oomph into the move. Is the best way to put it.
Pull.
Oomph. Just show it on your face. Show emotion a little bit.
Don't
pose for the camera during a submission. That would help. She hit the slice bread number 2 for the win.
Not bad.
This was a better Eva Marie than we've seen. She's a long way to go.
Yeah, I would agree with that. There are some definite improvements that need to be made, but she's in the perfect place for that. She's down in NXT. As far as I know, she's still training down in NXT, unless she's still working with Kendrick. I'm not entirely sure where she's getting her training, but they are still actively working with her. But for a debut, I thought it was very good. You know, considering where she was to where she is now, it's a vast improvement, which I have to applaud.
We have to remember she's in developmental now, so this is the beginning stages. Whether she turns out good, whether she turns out bad, that's to be determined, but at least she's making the effort.
You know, here's the thing. She's trying. And you can't disparage someone for trying. I think if she keeps at it, I think if she continues to put in the same hard work that she's put in, she will not be that bad. She could actually be very decent. Which is not meant as a backhanded compliment. You know, I don't want to say she's going to be like the greatest thing since Trish Stratus, because I don't think that, but I think she'll be solid.
If she continues working.
You know, again, like Rock said, this is the very beginnings for her. This is her starting over, and so we're seeing that, and we're already seeing an improvement with her working with Brian Kendrick. She's in the right place to continue to improve, so only time will tell.
We had William Regal backstage. You had Tyler Breeze just, you know, casually lying on his desk.
That was awesome.
Breeze was looking for an opponent for the live special for TakeOver, and well, Regal said he has something good for him. Just wait. And then Regal just no-sold what happened, and yeah, you go from there.
I love how Regal's character is that he's a competent general manager.
Yeah, it's great.
Like, he actually generally knows what's going on most of the time.
It's very refreshing. You had Baron Corbin versus Purple Dude.
Corbin killed him.
In 10 seconds. Please, for the love of God, do something different, Baron Corbin. So, and I think we're going to get it, but do something different. You had Samoa Joe beat Mike Rawless in about 2 minutes. Joe had new music.
Joe did have new music. They finally got it right.
It's better than it was.
Joe was impressive as always. I mean, you can't. It's Joe. Good Lord. It's Joe.
It was announced in 2 weeks we will get Samoa Joe versus The Rhino.
Ew.
That should be pretty good. He won with the Muscle Buster. Solid win. You had Devin backstage interviewing Dana Brooke and Emma. Devin said Bailey told her she would do more than hug Emma, who said that's a little creepy. She said maybe it's time now. She broke her childish spirit. And then, Dana was like, you need to hug Emma. And then they hugged, and then Dana patted Devin on the head because that's what she does. And yeah, it was a solid promo.
Dana Brooke really irritates me.
I know.
I really, 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 genuinely do not like Dana Brooke. Like, this is beyond her being a heel on TV. This is me literally looking at her wanting to punch her in the face. I just genuinely do not like her.
Yeah.
I get the worst vibe off of her. And I'm sure she's a perfectly lovely person, but just from what I see of her, it's like, oh, please go away. Please go away. I'm going to smack you. Because I feel like she's trying to rip off Sasha. That's what it feels like. Like, she tries to speak like Sasha.
Right.
She tries to act like Sasha. And it's like, you are not Sasha Banks. Please stop.
Yeah.
Please, for the love of God, stop.
Yeah.
You are also not Beth Phoenix. Don't even try.
Exactly. You had Emma taking on Bailey in a pretty good match.
Bailey's back!
I loved Emma coming out with one of Bailey's wristbands and trying to slap her with it.
Yep.
That was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
This was a solid, really good match between the two girls. A lot of back and forth action. And Bailey's been hurt injured hand, so that was the focus of Emma's offense. She smashed the hand in the ring post. She just pulled fingers apart, stomped on the hand, did everything she can to wear down the right hand of Bayley. Bayley made her come back with big flying elbow off the top rope, or middle rope. Both men and women went down off a double clothesline. Dana tried to interfere, gets tossed out. Couple roll-ups, reverse, two count, and then the Bayley to belly for your win. Bayley beats Emma. Good match.
Yay! Good match. Very, very much enjoyed it. The news is coming out after the match where Bayley challenged Charlotte.
Yeah, she said she is back to be the NXT Women's Champion, and she said she has to be the very best, and to be the very best is Charlotte.
Yep, and well, Dana took exception to that because Dana went backstage and Dana challenged Charlotte.
Yeah, Charlotte was backstage cutting a promo. She said what's happening or else a statement, and they finally get a chance to do what they've done in NXT.
She got a little verklempt.
She did. She said she would give Bayley her chance. Dana came in, as Lindsay mentioned. She questioned, is it because she has why isn't she getting these chances? Is it because she doesn't have a famous last name? And then basically Dana wants a match with Charlotte, who she obliged, and that'll happen next week. We get Charlotte and Dana next week.
Which it's eh.
I hope Charlotte puts her in her place.
I'm, like I said, not a huge fan of Dana Brooke, so it's like, oh, okay. I was more excited for Charlotte and Bayley, but Charlotte and Bayley will come.
It's gonna come in a couple weeks after that.
It's gonna be awesome.
It will be. The Vaudevillains.
Yay!
Took on Andrew Dawkins and Sawyer Fulton.
They won.
Solid match. Vaudevillians picked up the win.
Yay!
The oddest thing on the show was Blake and Murphy backstage.
What did Blake do to his hair?
Thank you. That's exactly where I was going.
What, like, what was that?
He keeps trying things with his hair, and I don't know what he did.
He frosted it.
Yeah.
It was straight and frosted, and it was just, and he's got a page boy, which just does not help him at all. It's like, dude, wet it. Just, like, walk around with it wet and curly and messy. Gold. Like, perfectly straight and groomed and done. It's like, what? No.
The best part of the promo was Alexa Bliss, Evil Sparkle Fairy, took control.
Evil Sparkle Fairy.
And basically said her boys will get the job done, even if she has to make sure it happens.
Now, shoot. I love heel Alexa. She's such an evil little Sparkle Fairy. It's awesome.
We then had the contract signing. William Regal's out. Hyped up the match. Kevin Owens came out. Baylor came out next. Owens asked Baylor how it feels to be NXT champion. Owens asked Baylor how it will feel to defend the NXT title. The biggest match in NXT history in Brooklyn. Crowd booed. Owens booed.
The Florida crowd is really not happy about TakeOver being in Brooklyn.
No.
Really not happy about it at all.
No, they're not. Owens boasted that what he's done in his first 6 months. Owens said he's going to show Baylor and all these idiots that what happened in Japan was a fluke. Owens says he'll become the first two-time NXT champion and take Baylor out. Baylor scoffed at the idea that his win was in Japan was a fluke. He said he heard it all before and will shove Owens' words down his throat. They signed the contract. Regal announced when it's happening. Owens knocked the table into Baylor, then punched him and pulled his face into the table. Owens then took out Regal. Owens tried to do more. Baylor fought him off with the forearm, kicked him out of the ring. Owens tried to get back in, but he got taken out again. And Baylor stood tall in the ring with the belt to end the show. Good ending.
Good ending. It should be noted that, Kevin's little smack to Regal is probably going to be his undoing in NXT, and that's going to be their way that they write him out of NXT.
Possibly.
If you remember to when Kevin first debuted, Regal said the only reason, like, he went to hit Regal, and Regal said the only reason he didn't was, it was the only reason he was still in NXT. So because Kevin got physical with Regal, again, that's how they're going to write him off TV.
Quite possibly. I would love to see a Kevin Owens Regal match.
Oh, yeah. That would be a fantastic feud.
That would be the nice way to write him out.
That would be a nice way to write him out, but I don't think Regal wrestles anymore. I think the last person that got Regal was Dean Ambrose.
Possibly.
Which I would love to find videos of that match.
So, overall, solid edition of NXT. Looking forward to next week.
Very much looking forward to next week. So, I say we take another break. So, when we come back, we are talking all things Battleground. We've got Tweet of the Week, and, well, I think that's it. Is that really it?
Tweet of the Week, Battleground, yeah, that's what we got.
Yeah, that's it. So, well, you certainly don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Oh, that's right. Oh, the show was just recently.
It was this past Sunday. It's a plug into a segue.
Hey, wait. Give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute. I'll be right back.
Really?
Come on, now.
Man. Tell us how you really feel, Rob.
Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree. Everybody just stop what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait.
Most Matadores versus the real American. You all
I'm going with that. Never mind, sorry. We're not making it. I seen him too in action, and I was, like, all excited. Oh, that's so funny. Not that I didn't expect that.
No.
Somehow.
No. as luck would have it, I believe Wolf Matador is one.
Yep, and see, if I seen him face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good, I would have picked him if I had seen him. I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted live on CB Radio. Subway picking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, that pick, I was going to make picks. I've already made picks on. I bet you my picks would have been different, too.
All right. The team that's titles on the line, AJ Lee versus Brie Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Brie Bella. I do remember that.
You do? Brie Bella lost the match with Ace and Rob picked Brie. So you picked AJ Lee.
Oh, my God. Get the fuck out.
I believe you changed to
Chance the Rock. Oh shit, well that's one for me because I'm sticking to my original pick.
Jay was completely in the garbage. Thank you.
I told you I'm my own worst enemy.
He's coming. Just like bump my HP up to like almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And we're going to go from Fall Out Boy to Tweet of the Week.
To be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So the theme of this week is Twitter wars.
And you know, it actually really is, because I have a lot of Twitter war too.
Okay. So Sheamus, Randy Orton crying, I get under his skin. Okay. Instead of WWE Battleground, I'll get under his chin with a size 14 boot. Hashtag brogue. Randy Orton replies, size 14, I wear 15, so I guess we know who the bigger man is. See you tonight at WWE Battleground. Irish curse, if you know what I mean. Oh, Randy. Sheamus goes, eh, Randy Orton stuffing the front of your boots with rolled up gym socks doesn't count, fella. Spinal Tap broke out of nowhere. Oh my. We're not talking about shoes anymore, are we?
I don't think so.
Didn't think so. Kyle Edwards. Forecast for Suplex City. 100% chance of showers, lightning, and cold. Cold revenge. Hashtag Undertaker. WWE Battleground at WWE. Bruno Mars. Yo, I want in on this Twitter beef. VMAs is the new WWF. At Ed Sheeran. Fuck you! Then he then yells, show yourself at Ed Sheeran after somebody made a SmackDown graphic of Sheeran and Mars.
Which has been all over the place, because it was on an article I saw somewhere.
Yeah, it's been everywhere. Ed Sheeran finally woke up and replied, Bruno Mars, any way we do this, you're gonna come up short. Bruno Mars, that cut deep. You always know how to shear me to the core. I can't believe we're shearing this in public. How dare you? Ed Sheeran. But all my crew know that Bruno has eyebrows that be Uno and plays Cluedo with Subo, but you lose because you blow.
We're trying real too hard on this one. Just saying.
They're trying. And finally, Stephanie McMahon. If you boys are serious, I can make it happen. Ed Sheeran versus Bruno Mars at WWE hashtag SummerSlam.
Interesting.
Go, Steph, go.
Yeah.
Seize that opportunity, man.
Let's see. AJ Lee, it's really hard to wear jean shorts without feeling like I'm cosplaying as myself.
Like you do.
Keep it 5-star. Luke Harper in that hoodie makes him look like he's going to drop the most fire mixtape of all time. Hashtag WWE Battleground. Three-man booth. Arrive. Catering. Punch Miz. Catering. Leave. Big Show. Keep it 5-star. After the 11th suplex. Seth Rollins. Rollins, I'm Tyler Black. Why am I here? Is this ROH? Where's Jimmy Jacobs? Hashtag Lesnar vs. Rollins. Keep it 5-star. All of you making fun of The Undertaker right now, don't be bad when you hear a gong in your house and suddenly your computer explodes. John Canton. When The Undertaker hid under the ring last night, did he think, I'm too old for this stuff? Find out on Total Undertaker on E.
Hashtag, oh god, I want that show now.
Hashtag jokes. Brock Kohler. The Undertaker is on Raw. The Undertaker is on Raw. This is not a drill.
Nope.
Matt Hardy. When it comes to longevity in a top spot in just one promotion, Undertaker sets the benchmark. Truly incredible.
25 years.
Yes.
25 years.
Yes. So, there's a AAA team called the Iron Pigs here in Pennsylvania. They made a hat with a bacon strip on it.
Are they better than the Phillies?
They are the farm team of the Phillies.
Are they better than the Phillies?
That's not the point of this story.
But I'm asking the question, are they better than the Phillies?
We hope one day. The Fresno Grizzlies put a taco on a hat. So the Iron Pigs tweeted, further proof that the original is always better than the sequel, which the Fresno Grizzlies replied, we say let's settle this in the AAA baseball championship, but your record kind of kiboshes the hope for that.
Ouch.
So, there was another tweet from the Fresno Grizzlies going, we suppose your shine has worn off, have to move merchandise somehow, because the Iron Pigs, wait, Did we miss you on the list of the top 25 clubs in merchandise sales? And they're nowhere there. And the Grizzlies replied, oh, I'm sorry. Here in Fresno, we actually design our own merchandise. We're not into making lists that serve for generic crap. Iron Pigs replied, that sounds like something someone would say that didn't make the list. Iron Pigs replied, we don't justify, or Grizzlies replied, we don't justify our worth with a list. We concern ourselves with our fans. Growlifornia is a lot stronger than Slopville. And then they talk about Iron Pigs going, but wait, we average 2,000 more fans, where the hell, yeah, we average more than 2,000 fans than you guys. And they just went back and forth and back and forth. Kind of amazing.
Sounds like they're having a shoe size measuring contest.
Yeah. And they go, Fresno Grizzlies went, is there anything else to do in Pennsylvania besides stare at each other and hang out in Lehigh Valley? Hashtag CA, hashtag Best Coast, in which the Grizzlies, the Iron Pigs replied, yes, we also eat bacon in PA. Hashtag Bacon USA.
Nice. Good tie-in. Oh, hi. Hi, Taker. They have new, they have new unearthed Deadman photos on WWE.com. May have to go look at those later when I'm not supposed to be doing my job, which is talking about WWE Battleground! Because he left me to host and I have to stall, so I'm going to be overly excited for this because I thought this was a really, really good show, so y'all have to just, like, put up with it and pretend I'm funny. You know, like you do every week, so we're all good. So, first match on the show.
Yes, the first match on the show.
King Barrett versus R-Truth.
The Battle of the Crown.
The Battle for the Crown. It is the Game of Thrones in WWE.
Which is interesting. Why are we battling for a crown? I still haven't figured this out.
Dude, I told you last week, if we're gonna do a battle over a crown, I want a swimsuit category, talent category, question and answer, and an evening gown.
Yes. So, one thing before we get into the match. R-Truth cut a serious promo beforehand.
Why wasn't that on Raw?
Exactly. Why was this on Raw? Why did you do Goofy? You should have did serious all along. Anyway, this was a solid match. You had Barrett in control for a while, and R-Truth made a comeback. Heel kick, scissors kick for a 2 count. Winds of Change, 2 count. Bullhammer miss, roll up, 2 count. Lie detector miss, Bullhammer, 3 count. The Keeper of the Crown, King Barrett.
Not surprised.
Not surprised. Thank God he's still the champion.
Yeah, thank God he's still a champion. Thank God he's still King of the Ring, because if he lost, you'd have to call BS on King of the Ring for this exact reason.
Yes.
But hopefully this feud is over, and hopefully they move Barrett and Truth onto something better.
Yes.
Because it hasn't been bad, but it's just like, eh.
Yeah. One other thing from the pre-show, Booker T needed a better chair. He looked, yep. He looked really, really short.
And he's not.
All right, on to the main show. You had Randy Orton versus the Sheamus. We had Use Look Stupid chants. We had 3 Irish Curse backbreakers in a row. We had RKO chant in the New Day style, which is kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
This was a pretty good match. We had a bro kick attempt, an RKO attempt, into a cloverleaf, no, white noise, yes, for a 2 count. Superplex into a 2 count. Hangman DDT 2 count. RKO into a roll up for a 2 count. The bro kick, both men down. We had a cloverleaf. Orton eventually struggled to the ropes, finally got there, and get this, Lindsay, there was an RKO out of nowhere.
Are we sure it was out of nowhere?
This one was out of nowhere.
Well, alright, it was out of nowhere. What a shock.
This was a pretty good match.
This was a pretty good match. I mean, they are gonna keep pushing Sheamus and Orton until we like it, damn it. Because this is the fallback for these two. Like, they don't have anything for them. Okay, let's get Sheamus and Orton together and have them fight, because that'll go over.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it feels like it is, but you know it's not. But I would personally like to thank Randy Orton, because he was the decider in the picks.
Really going there that early on this?
We are going there that early on this.
Okay. We're going to review all the picks later, but yeah.
Yeah, we're going to go over the picks later, but I would like to personally thank Randy Orton for being this deciding factor in the picks.
Between us two.
Between us two. Yes. He was quite delightful on Sunday. Anyway, proceed.
You had Stephanie backstage with JoJo. JoJo was short. Stephanie felt like the big show. And she announced we will see a triple threat match with the Divas later on in the show.
Yay.
We had the primetime players taking on the New Day. This was a solid match. What do you think?
It was there. I mean, you know, it's kind of like it's primetime players and New Day. I like New Day. Mainly Big E. Xavier's grown on me a little bit. But I mean, it's like, there's no real spark in this feud, if that makes sense. There's no real reason why they're facing each other, other than it's for the titles. And it's just like, when it's that case, it's like, eh.
Yeah. So,
I mean, that's kind of the best way I can describe it, is just, it's like, meh.
Yeah, it was a solid match.
I mean, the match is fine.
Yeah, nothing to complain about. Titus picked up the win with the Spine Buster. Simple and solid. It wasn't anything meaningful.
I would agree with that.
We had Paige, Charlotte, and Becky backstage. Becky says it's time for them to rebuild the division brick by brick. And Charlotte brought up, we're gonna do it with Flair.
Just the fact that these girls are on Raw makes me happy.
Yeah. So that's,
let alone Battleground.
I know, right? And then it came to Bray Wyatt versus Roman Reigns.
This was good.
This was a really, really good match between both men.
Yeah, you can tell that they've been working together. You can tell that they felt each other out, that they know each other really well. They put together a really, really nice match. There was a lot of back and forth, a lot of aggression, a lot of spots in this match, and I was just really overall impressed with it. I think they did a great, great job.
Something we need to point out, because we're awesome, we notice these things. Bray Wyatt's pants.
They fit?
He had writing on his pants.
Oh, yes. Yes, he did. And on the one leg going down it was awake.
Okay.
I was able to figure that out from the pictures. But yeah, he had brand new red pants for the pay-per-view, and he had written all over them in various different things. We think he actually wrote his whole promo on his one leg, but yeah, he had it on the front, he had it on the back, he had it all over the place, he had a wake down one leg. So yeah, he went to town because he doesn't write on his shirts anymore. He's got to sell that merch. But yeah, I like the fact that he had written all over his pants.
It brought us back to old Wyatt family.
Yeah, kind of it's all nostalgic. It takes you back.
Yeah, there was a nice spot in the match where Roman was going for his running dropkick on the outside, but Bray caught him with a shoulder instead. I thought that was
that was nice.
I thought that was a pretty cool spot, which led to a running senton on the outside. We had a superplex attempt, which was blocked into a sit-down powerbomb. Two count, both went down. Superman punch block. Bray just slammed him into the mat. We had a running dropkick outside on Roman, on outside by Roman. Superman punch, no, another slam. Sister Abigail attempt, no, roll up, two count. Superman punch, two count, both men down. Spear, no, Bray kicks him in the face, like legit kicked him in the face, and then knocked him down with a big right hand. We had the spider, Sister Abigail, Roman fights out of it. Repeated clotheslines in the corner, Samoa drop, Bray Wyatt rolls to the outside, this is where things got interesting. Bray throws him into the wall, grabs two chairs, and had the smile on his face, a smirk. About to do something. Roman gets up. He starts throwing the chairs into the ring, and then a mystery man in a hoodie attacks Roman Reigns. He gives him a little super kick. Bray Wyatt slams Roman Reigns onto the side of the ring, hits Sister Abigail, 1, 2, 3, your winner, Bray Wyatt, which was great because he needed the win.
He really did need the win. He looked great in the match. For the record, it really wasn't a mystery man because I'd know that beard anywhere. It's Luke Harper.
Yes.
And if the beard wasn't enough, the kick is. There's only one person that kicks like that in the whole damn company, and that's Luke. But yeah, great, great match. Fantastic job by both guys. You can see how far they've come in a year, and it's just wonderful because they had a match around this time or a little bit earlier last year, and it was just kind of it was all right. They've really come a long way. They put together something really solid, really great. You can tell that they've been working together on house shows. They know each other very well. They know what they're doing.
They do know what they're doing, and I love the fact that they use Luke Harper to begin. Like, people were going, he shouldn't have used Luke Harper. Luke Harper shouldn't have been there, and I get that, because Bray Wyatt does need clean wins. But this is the start of a series of matches. So, a clean win off the bat really doesn't help the feud along. Having Luke Harper give Roman Reigns the out, because it took two men to beat their superhero. And that's what it did. I just love the fact that the Wyatt family back together.
Yeah, and Bray cut a great promo after the pay-per-view. It was up on YouTube talking about how the family is back together and everybody should be, you know, lock your doors because the family is back together. And it's like, oh yes. But, you know, in terms of the interference, I get why people were upset by it. Personally, I would have liked to have seen Bray win clean. I will take Bray and Luke getting back together in a heartbeat because obviously the point is to get them to SummerSlam, which is a tag match or a six-man tag, depending on whichever they do. So you need to have a reason to get to that point, and the easiest route is to have whoever Bray is tagging with come in and interfere on Bray's behalf to pick up the win for Bray, or to help Bray pick up the win. So, and then of course that will involve Dean Ambrose on Roman's behalf because that's Roman's BFF.
Yeah.
So it's the easiest way to get it to SummerSlam.
Uh-huh.
And continue it on. You can always have Bray beat Roman clean later. You can have always have Roman get the win back. But as a way to get it to the next point on the road, I thought it was a pretty good option. And the thing is Luke kicked him in the face to stun him enough for Bray to get the Sister Abigail. It's not like Luke was involved the whole match. He really threw two moves, and that was it. Bray and Roman had a very physical, strong match for about 10 to 12 minutes before Luke ever got involved. So Bray essentially did the majority of the lifting, but he did have help.
He had help, and it was fine. The help was fine. It's leading somewhere. And when it leads somewhere, I'm okay with that.
It's reuniting Bray and Luke, which is a really cool dynamic between the two. I love Eric, don't get me wrong, but I love the dynamic between Bray and Luke because they're two people who function on the same level in terms of ideas.
Yes.
And they're so in sync with each other, it's really kind of neat to see because you're actually going to get to see kind of the intelligence that Luke Harper has potentially and not having to be chased after Eric Rowan. So I think they can do more with Bray and Luke as opposed to the trio, but we'll have to see. But great, great match.
It was a great match. It was great storytelling. Yeah, that's the best way to put it. It was great storytelling, great match. I enjoyed it. We then had a beautiful and dangerous interview backstage, solid promo by the ladies. Then we had Charlotte, Sasha Banks, and Brie Bella.
Oh, yes.
It was teased Nikki would wrestle, but it was instead Brie. This was a really good match.
This made me so damn happy as a female wrestling fan because they went out there, they got their entrances, they were taken seriously, they weren't being disparaged by the announcers. They did a really, really good triple threat between the three. The teams were kept to a minimal in terms of interference. I don't think actually anybody interfered, but just a great, great match from all three ladies. Brie held her own in there with Charlotte and Sasha.
She did.
But the real action happened when Brie wasn't in that ring.
No, but Brie was more than she held her own. She really held her own in this matchup.
Oh no! Oh yeah, she definitely held her own. She definitely looked good. She definitely helped. But there's something between Charlotte and Sasha that...
I love the double knee in the corner by Sasha, mm-hmm. where she dropped it on both women. Which was really, really good. Brie lays in a clothesline and a dropkick, running bulldog to camp. Brie goes for kicks for a while. They gets caught. Sasha caught in the middle. Charlotte spears Brie. Sasha rolls up Charlotte in a two count. We have the battle between Charlotte and Sasha there for over the backslide. Charlotte win the battle. Two count. Big neck breaker by Sasha. Two count. Missile dropkick by Brie on both women. It's a Divas stare down on the outside with Bellas in the middle. Sasha dropkicks Brie onto Nikki and Alicia, which almost turned out bad for Brie as she almost got dropped on her neck, which wasn't any good. Sasha then landed on Team Bella. Charlotte then dove down onto Team Bad. Got this is awesome chant. Charlotte has Brie up on the top rope. Bank statement. Brie breaks it up. Brie goes for her finish, but it was countered. We have Charlotte locking in the figure eight. Brie Bella taps out.
And that figure eight was so damn pretty.
Yeah.
I love that the match ended on a submission. That's the first, like we said on Monday, the first real change for the Divas division is that they're getting submission holds, which some of them have had them in the past, but not all of them. And it was kind of brought to prominence by AJ, or actually it was brought to prominence by, I believe, Natty. She's been kind of keeping it going. AJ helped. Paige has helped. And now you have the girls coming up with NXT that they all have. Oh, thank you, phone, for reminding me it's payday. That they all have submission holds. They all know how to use them and they're effective.
Yes.
And, you know, that there are these devastating moves. Like, Charlotte has finally made the figure four devastating.
Yes. Yes, she has.
You know, with the figure eight, which is just simply doing a backbend with the figure four on, but certainly makes it look completely badass. Same thing for the bank statement. The way Sasha does the bank statement is just awesome.
Which then brought us to the U.S. title match, John Cena, Kevin Owens.
Okay. All right. I know everybody and their brother is pissed about this.
Because we'll go with this quote from the beginning of the match. We know the act. We've seen it for 10 years. Get out here, Kevin Owens. This was a great match.
Oh, from top to bottom, this was a great match.
This was a great, great match. We saw the Cena Destroyer, because it's one of the most awkward moves ever, but it's the Cena Destroyer. We saw this in the match. We saw AA's kicked out of pop-up barrel bomb. gets countered and kicked out of in this match. We had a top rope AA get kicked out of. We saw Kevin Owens do the five moves of doom. Didn't fully work out for him. And then he got trapped in the STF. And this is where everyone has the problem. Kevin Owens tapped out. John Cena retains the U.S. title.
Did he tap out or did he pass out?
Tapped out. It wasn't, you know, an over-exaggerated tap, but he tapped out. It would have been interesting if he passed out, because I think more people would have been okay him passing out.
I actually would have been okay if Owens had passed out. I think that would have been a little bit better. I'm not sure I 100% agree with having him tap out, just because he's such a badass, or they've at least made him as such a badass, that him tapping out to the STF, you, whatever the hell it's called, not even properly apply, because once again, Kevin Owens showed John Cena how to use his own damn move. I don't think that was exactly okay, but it's better than Cena pinning Owens in the middle of the ring.
Yes.
Because the pin is much worse than Kevin Owens tapping. Obviously, people are going to remember it for a little bit, but not forever. Because once he goes on and he does his next thing, whatever that's going to be, which looks like it's going to be Cesaro.
Uh-huh.
100% okay with that. They'll forget all about it.
I understand the controversy. I didn't want John Cena to win. You didn't want John Cena to win.
No.
But I get it.
It makes sense to keep the title on John Cena right now, even though I'd really like to see Owens with it, just because Owens is going into the match with Balor at SummerSlam, or the night before SummerSlam, and you don't want your U.S. champion losing to the NXT champion. So it makes more sense for Cena to hold on to the U.S. title right now, and Owens go down to NXT, get his rematch, lose to Balor, and then get kicked out of NXT, and he comes up to the main roster full time. And then from there, you can give him a U.S. title, you can give him the IC title, and when he's ready for it, you can give him the WWE Championship. But what part of this is WWE testing Kevin Owens. You have to remember that Kevin Owens came in 6 months ago to NXT, and he's already on the main roster. They handed him the championship within the first month of being there. And so there are some people in the company that feel that Kevin has not earned what he's getting, even though he's a veteran and yada, 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 yada. They feel he has not earned what he's getting, and they want him to prove it. And so they're testing him. And they do this with everybody comes up. They did it with Shield. They did it with Bray. They did it. They're going to do it with Neville. And they're going to do it with Owens. Because they want to see, you know, whether the popularity is legit or not.
To go at a man's point in the chat room, yes, Owen was NXT champion. And he beat John Cena, who was the U.S. champion. Non-title match.
Yeah.
Non-title match. You don't want your champion losing in a championship match the night before he would have to then defend the championship. Could that still happen? Yeah, Owens can still win the U.S. title on the road to SummerSlam. I'm not 100% sure they're going to go in that direction, but they could. I want to pose this, because I posed this on Twitter, and I talked to Chase about it, who's in our chat room. If you're not, go to wildtalkradio.com. I posed this question. John Cena had the best segment on Raw for how many months? Four?
Something like that.
As U.S. champion, and there was no real complaint. I just want people to look at it objectively for a second. Cena was helping the young talent. Did he beat Kevin Owens? Yes. Should Kevin Owens have won? Yes. Not disagreeing. But you shouldn't take it out on John Cena because he's the fallback. He was being praised for his work with everybody pushing them up. He had great matches with Cesaro, Neville, Owens, Zayn, and like, all in the last 4 months. I just want people to take a step back.
Yeah, this was not a Cena thing. This was a WWE thing. They made that decision to not put the title on Kevin Owens, not John Cena.
Right.
Let's be perfectly clear on that.
So it's like, do I think John Cena's going to win the WWE Championship at SummerSlam? No. No, I don't. Because Seth Rollins should be your WWE Champion. Will it happen? Will I be wrong? Yeah, I'll probably be wrong if John Cena walks out champion. Because that's what WWE does. But they have an opportunity to have John Cena put Seth Rollins over.
They do. They absolutely 100% have the opportunity to put Seth Rollins over. And that will help make Seth Rollins if he can beat John Cena clean without the help of the authority. You know, the fact of the matter is everybody who's upset for Rollins and Cena, I respect your point of view, but at the same time, what are you going to do with Seth? You have to find him someone. He's already really face pretty much everybody that's built up to that level to be able to go for the title. So you're really left with no choice but to do Cena. Because with Cena, you can send him out there, they cut one promo, and the match is good. You don't have to do a really heavy, hard build for this, like you're going to have to do for some of the other matches. You know, it's Cena's coming for the title, that's all we really need to know. And Seth is going to defend it.
Right, Seth Rollins needs a challenger because it's SummerSlam.
And the fact of the matter is your main event on the card is Brock and Taker. You have to have a match that can stand up to Brock and Taker, and the only really marquee match that they can do for Seth is Cena versus Rollins.
Because
you need that name value in there.
Right, because you're in that position. I get the frustration, because I'm there with you. I'll put this out there, and I want to see what LeMans thinks in the chat room. What if, go with me, Kevin Owens won the second match, and then only lost the third. Would that have helped the build? Would that have helped Owens? Because that, to me, that's the way I get around it, is have Cena win, or Cena lose the first and second matches and him overcome it when the third one, the title's on the line. I think if they did that, I think less people would be upset. But I might be wrong on that one. But I wanted to throw that out to the chat room as well. But in the end, I don't think they will let Cena win the title and not be the main. He's not winning the title.
Mm-mm.
Your main event's Brock and Taker. That's clear. See,
Taker's going over.
Right. People want Sheamus to cash in. I don't know. I'm just throwing these scenarios out. Would Kevin Owens be better as the U.S. champion? Yeah. And I get it, because that's where I thought they were going. I 100% thought there was no chance John Cena was walking out champion. But he did. And I'm not going to hate on him for it, you know?
No, I'm not going to hate on him for it, because it's not his decision to walk out champion. I would have liked to have seen Owens win it, but here's the thing. Owens can pick it up anytime they're ready to put it on it.
And they build up this open, just remember, they build up this open challenge for a reason. Someone's going to win on an open challenge. Just call it a hunch.
Yep, whether that's Kevin Owens, whether that's Cesaro, whether that's somebody coming up from NXT, we don't know. But somebody will win that title from John Cena on an open challenge, and that'll be it. And then they'll feud for it.
No, the title will be on the line, Lance. The title's gonna be on the line at SummerSlam. But just think about it. They made a decision, and I'm gonna point this out, because this is just, look at the way the card went, and we'll get to the rest of the match, the one last match here in a second. Roman Reigns lost. The main event ended with the top babyface not winning. A babyface needed a win somewhere.
Yeah, and, you know, here's the thing. Like I said, you know, PWPCQZ, generic name, says that Cena built up the U.S. title very well. They had a challenger who would be worthy to be a new generation champion and continue Cena's work, but they creatively chickened out. No, they really didn't. That title can go on Owens at any point. Any of the titles can go on Owens, with the exception of the heavyweight title, at any point. They want to keep it on Cena right now. They're keeping it on him for a reason. And it could be Kevin Owens walks out there next week and wins the title. Could be he never wins it. You know, was he ready to take it? Yes. In my opinion, should he have taken it? Probably. But there's a reason why he didn't. For whatever reason. And it's like, they're not done. They're done-ish. But they're not completely done. This isn't over.
No. So, what us talking about that match is, The Miz was in the ring, talked about the match being postponed. Big Show's been missing since the Attitude Era. Big Show came out, knocked out the Miz. Bye-bye. Which brought us to our main event. Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar. Holy crap, did Seth Rollins get killed.
13 suplexes?
Yeah, we had an F5 escape. Dives into a German suplex, another German suplex, then a go. It's all happening in my head. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Rollins with kicks, goes after the legs. Pity kicks to the head. Rollins with a big dive. Couple big dives, 7, 8, 9, 10. Three of them were in a rolling style, which was very interesting to do. Then we had the 11th, Rollins stopped Lesnar. 12, 13, 13 suplexes. We hit the F5, and then, as Brock Lesnar goes for the cover, we hear, and the return of the Undertaker. The Undertaker comes out, goes for a chokeslam. No, F5. No, low blow by the Undertaker. Chokeslam, tombstone, a second tombstone, and the dead man leaves Brock Lesnar laying in the middle of the ring to end Battleground. Because he is awesome.
Welcome to Tombstone City, bitch.
Pretty much, yeah.
I know a lot of people were upset about this, too. where they weren't necessarily 100% happy with Taker coming back. You know, obviously I'm a Taker fangirl, so I'm completely happy with it. I thought it was a great surprise. To me, it's kind of one of those things. There was no way Seth Rollins was going to pin Brock Lesnar in the middle of the ring without help. No way on God's green earth that was going to happen, because it's not believable. Seth is one lucky little bastard. He's not that lucky.
Right.
The only way he got Brock Lesnar down at Mania was because Brock had been beating up Roman for 10 minutes and was somewhat tired. And that's how Seth got that. But I mean, in terms of this match, he's facing Brock. He's getting his ass kicked. He got suplexed 13 times. You needed an out for that match to the point that it's like you take Brock out of the title picture, because it's either Seth Rollins pins Brock clean or Brock walks out with that title and then he either drops it at SummerSlam or it goes home with him until Rumble.
Right.
Or whenever he's going to show up next, which that was a great novelty when they did it when Brock won the title at SummerSlam last year.
Yeah.
But the novelty's worn off. You kind of need to have your champion around.
Yeah.
He doesn't, you know, it needs to be there.
Right.
So it was a nice way to set up SummerSlam, have Taker show up at a pay-per-view. There were rumors he was going to be there, but it's like, you know, it's Taker. You don't necessarily believe the rumors until you hear the gong.
Right.
And then it's like once the gong happened and Taker showed up to screw Brock, it was like, holy shitballs.
Yeah.
Chase, I can't watch 30 either. I watched it once. I watch up to Bray Wyatt and John Cena, and then it stops.
And then Daniel Bryan wins.
And then Daniel Bryan wins. You know, there's a whole big gap in the middle. But back to the point, you had the authority get taken out. Kane's got a broken ankle. J&J are messed up. Hunter and Steph cannot get involved.
Right.
Because of the conflict of interest alone. So it's, you had to have somebody come in. You had to have somebody go for Brock. It makes complete sense that it's Taker. He's getting vengeance for the streak. He's getting vengeance for his brother. He's just getting vengeance. He's pissed off. And he wants to fight.
Right.
So I liked it. I thought it was a good option. I thought it was hilarious that Seth and the ref just disappeared when Taker showed up.
Right.
They're just like, come on.
Right.
But, I mean, I personally like the ending, but that's just because I'm a Taker fangirl. And I'm exceptionally biased.
Right.
But I enjoyed it.
Yes.
Just like I enjoyed the brawl on Monday night. I thought the brawl on Monday night was fantastic. It was a great way to set up the story.
It was. It really, really was.
But what'd you think?
I thought it was great. I liked the finish. I thought it was a good pay-per-view. I enjoyed the entire show.
The matches that were supposed to deliver, delivered.
Yes.
And that's the thing that's important, is I liked it. I enjoyed it. I loved the surprises with Taker and Brock, with the Wyatts, you know, especially the Wyatts, which was completely unexpected. You know, it was just like out of left field. Oh, hey, here's Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper getting back together, which is something that I've been waiting for since the split.
Yeah. Yeah.
Breaks my heart that Eric's not there, but that was a great reunion. The fact that they're going with it is wonderful. The fact that Taker screwed Brock and Taker's going to be around for SummerSlam is pretty awesome. You know, I still feel the only misstep is having Owens tap, but that's really kind of a minor thing. But I thought this was much, much better than Money in the Bank and way better than Elimination Chamber.
Everything was better than Elimination Chamber.
Oh, God. Chamber was awful.
We're doing... This is... He's not, he's doing a mixture of badass gimmick and deadman gimmick.
It's the hybrid. It's the hybrid of America. It's, if you go and watch WrestleMania from 2004, 20, WrestleMania 20, this is the gimmick he came back with, sans the cowboy hat, at WrestleMania 20 at the Garden. It's a hybrid of badass Taker and old school Taker. And it's what he kind of evolved it to up until he started doing the druid stuff in like 2011. So it's just a simple, flat, basic look for him. I like it.
It works for me.
It works for me.
Quick notes. We'll have the full pick'em results on Facebook tomorrow, because I have to look at the sheet because things are not correctly written on the sheet. So I gotta go back over it. Though I know I was 2-4, you were 3-3, but sadly we lost to the Magic 8 Ball. The Magic 8 Ball was 4-2.
Damn it! So, but that's okay, I still beat you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So we'll have official
Thank you, Randy Orton.
We'll have official pick'em result on the Facebook group tomorrow afternoon. I have to go through the spreadsheet again, because the way it was written out, I have to change some things, and it's too much to do as we're doing the show. So there you go. That's a little housekeeping. We'll be giving away the prize Tim has for your car at SummerSlam, because I know we still have a tie with people.
Yes.
So there you
go. We do.
One other thing before we go. On August 3rd, right? Today?
Yes.
On August 3rd, use the hashtag Sandow Appreciation Day. So share your pictures, stories, favorite moments, and matches of Damian Sandow. We're going to try to get the hashtag for a couple friends of ours. They're trying to get the hashtag Sandow Appreciation Day trending. So tell your friend, use the hashtag Sandow Appreciation Day on August 3rd.
There yes.
You we'll have more
support
about it.
Support the Damian.
Yeah, we'll have more about it next week on the show. But I say we're done.
So, well, you've got plugs, so plug away.
Check out the Rack Extra Season 4, Episode 3, now available at Rack Radio Show and WildTalkRadio.com. We review Total Divas, Episode 4, next week. Saturday Night Midnight, this is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual, CB Radio WTR on Twitter, Facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. Sunday Night, Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern, WTR Sunday Night, Facebook.com/Russell Talk Radio. Monday night is the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Check out RackRadioShow.com. Get us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, Rack Radio Show. Check out the website, RackRadioShow.com. Get us on iTunes and Stitcher for Rack Radio Show. Get Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio, Wild Talk Radio Network. You can follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. And join the Facebook group, Facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out rackradioshow.com. Also, don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, pwmania.com, tnasylum.net, The Haven for TNA fans, and of course, Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/mbg1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. Also, Sandow Appreciation Day, August 3rd. Tweet it, Facebook it, Tumblr it, whatever. Let's get it trending, y'all, to make sure Damian knows we do love him. And all his crazy. But for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack, and, well, we will see you next week. Bye.
It never meant to be merciful. Come at me or don't come at all. I will put you down. I will put you down. I will put you down for king and for country. I will put you down. I will put you down. I will put you down. The prayers that you need. I will put you down. I will put you down.